time for the In the Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon and the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad.
Yeah, this is Damian Lemon.
This is Ali Muhammad.
And this is In the Conversation,
the podcast.
Oh, shit. Well, let me do that again. Fuck it. Let's rock out. What's good with you, man? What's popping?
Nah, man, everything cool. Yeah. You know, just getting into this week real heavy.
Yeah, what's going on?
You know, I'm out here on the show, so the show is kicking in. We premiere in a couple of weeks, so it's crunch time on, you know, getting all the stories locked in and all that.
Yeah.
What's
the big stories right now? Like, what y'all? You can't get into all that?
Yeah, I can't.
Classified information.
It's classified information. You know what I'm saying? We got competitors out here, yeah.
Okay, right. True, indeed. I guess, you can't just be giving the scoop away.
Yeah.
It'd be like, if you listen to his podcast, it's really like a pre-production fucking meeting, really, and then we can find out next thing you know. We'll be on Main Street. Next on Main Street. That should come on a half hour before Central Ave.
Yeah, shit.
On Main Street. We got all the scoops.
We got all the shit. That'd be funny.
But it is, you know what I'm saying, an exercise and, you know what I'm saying, getting back into the swing of people. Like, you know, quarantine, you know, you're not really dealing with that many people, you know, you're really not dealing with no people at all, really, for months. Mm-hmm. And to jump back into work where, you know, you're fielding, you know, 75, 80 calls a day that you actually talk on and shit, then, you know, saying Zoom meetings. And so it's like going from no people at all to, you know what I mean, Times Square. That's how I feel.
Right.
So yeah, it's just getting back into the swing of that. And I think right now I'm fully back in that swing where, you know, you're used to it and you just okay, boom, this next, all right, bang, 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 and knock your shit out, getting that rhythm, game time rhythm back. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Moving at game speed. So you know what I mean?
I could dig it. And what's the ratio of regular calls to Zoom calls?
Meeting wise, it's all Zoom-esque type of calls. They, you know, they using different kinds of tools.
What you mean?
Some teams use Microsoft Teams. You know what I mean? And some teams use Zoom. So we're using a little bit of both, and trying to get used to figuring out, you know, the workflow of each. So it's interesting because, you know, a lot of these Microsoft Teams, I was really resistant to it at first.
I never heard of that before.
Yeah, it's like an organizational tool. I think it's like Slack, they saying. I never use Slack, but they say it's like Slack.
Oh, so that's chat though, right? Is it Slack like kind of like instant messenger type shit?
Yeah, it has all of that. It has all these things. You could do instant messaging. You could do video calls. You could do regular calls. You could do, you know, you like different folders and places where you hold files. If you need to send the team a file, everybody could, you know, just access it on the Teams. You could do a whole meeting. The feature I like about it is that, like, say when you finish a meeting, you could jump and you need to call somebody else that was just on the meeting. You could just jump out of the meeting and hit their name and then press the call button, as opposed to like going to your phone, find their contact. Like all of the team's contacts are right there. So as soon as you type their name, boom, it's right there. And you could just go without having to make any other moves. So I like that part, because a lot of times you just want to get a quick little answer. And in lieu of everybody being in the same office, you could jump off the main call and then do a quick little video call with somebody that you need to get information from or give information to. So I actually like that part of the platform. And, you know, and as the more you get into it, you realize how you can keep yourself organized via the calendar and all that other shit. So that's some shit that, you know, obviously I wasn't doing. You know what I'm saying?
Hilarious.
So it's just something that getting used to and enjoying, you know, learning the process of it.
Okay. That's what it is. What's your Zoom? Do you have any, since you've been Zooming a lot, have you tweaked your Zoom presentation? Have you seen anything that you like? Or have you peeped anything that anybody's taking the Zoom call to a new level?
Nah, I just fuck with my, I try to make my backgrounds relevant to what we doing.
Okay.
So I took the set and made it my background, so it kind of looked like I'm sitting on the set just to keep everybody focused on you know, the task at hand, and not this empty background that's here waiting on this furniture to get here.
right. They all looking at your shit. Like, what's going on? Okay.
I think that's a Zoom sport, looking at people's shit.
yeah, because it gives people that's what that was the coolest thing about the Verses. You know what I'm saying? See how some of your favorite artists was living. So took that shit to a studio.
Right. Speaking of which,
Verses was very adult this weekend. That shit was good, that motherfucker. It was super grown. It was a moment, man. Did you watch it? Did you see the replay?
Yeah, I watched. I caught a lot of it. I didn't watch the entire in its entirety because it was very grown at a certain point.
Yeah.
But I got my entertainment on, you know what I'm saying? I like to see the ladies, you know what I'm saying, handling their business and with they Sunday finest on and talking their talk. You know what I mean?
Yeah, Gladys had them sequins on.
Yeah. And what I realized out of this shit was how much I fuck with Gladys Knight's music. You know what I'm saying? Like, off the top of the dome, I wouldn't be able to tell you that. But as she was playing them joints, I was like, yeah, I know that shit right there.
And
it's a very, like, her texture is very, it's hard. It ain't like no soft R&B. Like, you know what I'm saying? She has some tough beats.
No, she has some great instrumentation. I was definitely peeping that. I like Gladys. Out to your point, I wasn't off top. You know, Patty out the two of them. You know, Patty's probably the more public facing, at least. You know what I mean? Like, she pops up in culture a little bit more. Gladys is obviously, they both iconic and all of that, but like, Gladys is definitely like the music, and you know, obviously, I almost forgot about Gladys Knight Chicken and Waffles. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, we was talking about that. We was like, me and my people down here, we were saying that shit. If Gladys Knight Chicken and Waffles was still open, shit, you could do Verses live up in the spot.
Right. That'd have been L. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Eating some grits and chicken.
Yeah, that was the move. Gladys Knight Chicken and Waffles used to be fire back in the day. That was
for sure.
I think I had a connect in there too, like, you know, a little later on, and I think I had somebody that used to work there, so we used to get the nice, you know, the nice comp plate, you know, as long as you tip well.
Right.
But that shit was a thing, like
Gladys Knight. Yeah. And then it sat right on that strip where the Shark Bar was at, and it was Gladys Knight.
The Shark Bar.
You know what I'm saying? That shit was popping.
Yeah. That was a moment, man. The Shark Bar. Remember, I mean, we take it all the way back to Justin's. Justin's was a moment too, man. Shit.
Yeah, all that was popping at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, Patty, you know, she between that, you know, between the Patty's Pie situation going viral, between her being Dwayne Wayne's grandmother, you know what I'm saying? Like, or mom's. You know, putting out the cookbooks and shit like that, kicking off. Like, Patty's definitely a little bit more, you know, a lot of showmanship, a lot more. Like, again, like her public profile is a little higher. You might immediately, like, because you could think about 4 or 5 Patti LaBelle records off the top of the head. Right. But to your point, man, Gladys got some shit, like, you know. What I like about Gladys, one, the instrumentation is soulful and funky and hard body, but also I said in the chat, like, her lyrics, them shits is like uncomfortable conversations with hooks and bridges. You know what I'm saying? Like, it'd be some real shit she's singing about when you break it down. Like, wow.
No, for sure. Just Midnight Train to Georgia itself is that's some hard hitting. You know what I'm saying? Soul searching ass shit. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Because, yeah. like, if you don't really listen to the words, you just thinking, you know, it's, oh, she about to go back to Georgia. But right. now it's like, you know what I'm saying, she went out there with a dude. And dude got out there and he couldn't really, you know what I'm saying, catch nothing going on. She got her shit popping. And he like, fuck it, I'm going back to Georgia. I'm on the midnight train back to Georgia. And she got to say, well, you know what I'm saying, fuck what I'm doing and all the success that I got going on. I'd rather be in your world than to be in mine without you. And it's yeah. like, damn, that's a hell of a ass decision to make.
That's a sacrifice.
Sound good in the moment, but I'm sure 3 years after, the regret song was, you know what I'm mm-hmm. saying? This motherfucker.
My shit. Motherfucker. Yeah. I remember. Shout out to Bevy Smith, you know, past guest. She told her that. She had her on her show, Bevelations. Also, shout out mm-hmm. to Bev for Bev, because I believe she won a Gracie Award for Bevelations. Mm-hmm. So salute to her. But she told Gladys Knight on the show, she said, yo, you should have never went back. You should have stayed where you was, respectfully. You know what I mean? Like, that's real shit. You know, that's a good moment to have
what
that.
Gladys say?
I forget what Gladys said, but she kind of in the midst of the verses, kind of, I don't want to say linked to it, but you can see that, that I don't want to say that didn't age well, because it didn't not age well. It's a classic record, but mm-hmm. times have changed quite a bit since that record came out. And you could see, like, when she talked a little bit about it, it was kind of mm-hmm. like there was a little bit of that regret. Not to right. say, you know, I got a hit, but, you know, if things were, you know, if I had to make that decision in 2020 or 2019 right. when right. I had my full freedom, could go outside and all that, he right. might have been on that train or that damn Spirit Air. Something. By himself. But, yeah.
Nah, and it's a trip, because times have changed and all that, you know what I'm saying? And it goes in both directions. But people are still making those same decisions. Right. Whether it's with their partner or just with themselves, where you get to a place and you feel like you can't make it. And you just right. say, fuck it, I'm on the midnight train back to wherever I'm from. Mm-hmm. I remember when I got to that point where it was just like, ah, this shit might not be the move. I had to come to a realization that, shit, I couldn't even afford to get no ticket back to Miami. So I had to make this shit work. I couldn't even afford to fail. So that shit was, it's like, nah, nigga, you can't quit because you ain't got no motherfucking ticket money to quit. Yeah. So you got to keep going.
You passed the point of no return, as they say.
For sure.
Yeah. Literally. Yeah, man. Speaking of those type of records, I think neither one of us wants to be the first to say goodbye. That's another tough record mm-hmm. too. Like, you know, it's a lot of soul searching right. in those bars.
Yeah, and that's the type of shit I be into. Mm-hmm. I like Patty. I like Patty as a personality. Mm-hmm. But and there's some songs of hers that I do like. It's just none of them really connected. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But she got records that I fuck with, but it's just like none of them that's like, ooh, yeah, goddamn, that's, yeah, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, nah, I hear you.
It was always like your auntie's music.
Yeah, I could see that. And it was also like, it was so much performance with it too. Mm-hmm. You know, like Patty always had the big crazy hair, she kicking the shoes off. She would do mm-hmm. the thing where she would sing at the mic and then walk away from the mic, and you could mm-hmm. still hold the note and then come back. Like, it was a lot of showmanship that she had mm-hmm. going with her. Whereas, yeah, Gladys yeah. Knight had some shit. I didn't really discover Gladys Knight's like catalog really until I got older. Like, you know, you knew the mm-hmm. hits, you know what I mean? But right. you didn't, you know, it kind of, both of them kind of, Patty was a little bit more accessible, but like, you know, they both were kind of a little bit like, that was a different generation, you know? Mm-hmm. One thing that really brought me into Gladys Knight, you ever listen to the Claudine soundtrack?
Yeah.
That shit, they, That got some shit on it. That's a tough ass record. And I like the movie Claudine too. Claudine's a good movie. It's very slept on. But yeah, it was good to see them. You know, they were definitely a departure in tone from Brandy and Monica. You know,
it was Gunica.
Yeah. Young Gunica. You know. They were a little bit more. It's more of a love fest, very in line with like Jill and Erica. You know what I'm saying? Like they came up. They've been through it. They, you know, I'm sure they've probably had their ups and downs. Maybe not, but you know the way that they showed love to each other and praised each other. That was just good energy, good Sunday night energy.
And it seemed like they may have had something. I think Gladys Knight referenced something at one point where it was like, oh, they might have had a little back and forth.
Yeah, they might have. That's upset. I think Gladys Knight might have been the one to say, you know, Brandy and Monica, y'all get it together. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, it was some funny moments, man, because, you know, they're elders, you know. So there was some moments where that elder assertion will come out, you know. There was a moment where the teleprompter wasn't on point, and she had to check this man in the midst of the presentation, and you could tell she was dead serious because she said, "I'm serious as a heart attack." And you know that that phrasing in itself, when you hear somebody say, "I'm serious as a heart attack," you know to get your shit together because that is urgent.
I heard that part, but I had missed what happened. You know what I'm saying? When she said, "I'm serious as a heart attack," I'm like, okay.
Yeah. her teleprompter wasn't going the way she did to go. And it's funny because, I guess you don't really think about it, but they got such catalog that these might be records that really resonate with you and you know every word of it, but this is just another record that they made. So sometimes they might not know all of the second verse. You know what I'm saying? So it's kind of undermining the performance when I can't steal a glance and find out what these next two sentences are. So you know, shit like that, man. It was good. I had some baked turkey wings.
Oh,
and rice. Yeah, that
you put together.
Yeah, I put together specifically for that situation, man.
In honor of the elders.
In honor of the elders, exactly, because I feel like a turkey wing is a very mature, a mature dish. Yeah, I didn't really appreciate the turkey wing till damn near late in my 30s. Not actually, probably till last year, to be totally honest with you. Nah, there's a spot somewhere in Bed-Stuy that I stopped through, and I copped some turkey wings, and those shits were so fire.
Yeah, the turkey wing, go ahead.
Yeah. They were so fired. I gotta learn how to make them. They got good turkey wings. I can't remember. I think it's called Not Taste of. No, that's a strip club. I was about to say Taste of Honey, but that's a strip club. It's Taste of something. But then there's a Uptown on 125th Street. There's a not on 125th Street. It's between 120. Maybe 124th or 123rd, there's this church, Praying Hands Church, right there on the corner of 8th and 125th, or 124th, 125th, 124th. But you go upstairs, and they sell dinners, like, throughout the day. And their turkey wings, they're fantastic. You know what I mean? So, like, I always associate turkey wings damn near with, like, a church. You know what I mean? Like a little church type of
after space church week. Moment.
Yeah, a little after church moment. You know, very mature, but yeah, those shits was good as hell. But what were you about to say about the turkey wing?
Nah, the turkey wing, man, that's the most flavorful part of a turkey to me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So when my grandma used to make the turkey wing, it was, you know what I mean? It's just finger licking good. You know what I mean? But then I was at an event and motherfucker had, you know, the past hors d'oeuvres and shit. And they came out with what looked to be a turkey neck. I'm like, damn, they doing turkey necks as past hors d'oeuvres? And then I was like, what's that? She was like, this is a turkey tail. I was like, I never heard of a turkey. I mean, I never eaten a turkey tail. I never heard of that even being cooked.
Didn't know.
You know what I'm saying? My man, that shit was delicious. You know what I'm saying? It was, I mean, I wasn't expecting it. You know what I'm saying? I thought it was going to be more like a turkey neck. You know what I'm saying? Thought it might have a flavor like a turkey wing. But the tail got a whole nother vibe to it. You know what I'm saying? With a little crisp and a little, you know what I'm saying? It's a, you know, they had a, like a light crisp on it. But then it's juicy and soft. I was like, yeah, I might have to investigate this turkey tail movement.
Yeah, I might have to look into that. I didn't even know turkeys had a tail. But how big is it? What is it like? It's is it like the little butt end of the chicken? You know, the little piece?
Nah, not the little fat butt. Nah, not the turkey, not the chicken butt. It's a, you know how a turkey neck look? You know what I'm saying? It's kind of like in those kind of chunks like that. You know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. That kind of situation. But it got a little more, like the texture of the meat is a little smoother, and you know, it got the, I guess, the little crisp of the light fat crisp, but with no, it's not a fatty piece of meat. Mm. Shit is good, man. I was impressed.
That's a bold hors d'oeuvre right there.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? You know how when the person who's passing them around, they come out?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And you be eyeing them, waiting on the shit that you waiting on. Right. You know what I'm saying? You see the motherfuckers come out with the turkey tail. I'll be like, hey, over here. Come on now. Bring that on my way.
That's crazy. I used to be one of those people back when I first started doing comedy, when funds were low and I was just taking odd jobs here and there. Mm-hmm. I had a gig where I was working at this hotel down in Lower East Side. And I used to, you know, do these little parties. When they had the parties going on, I was one of the cats that would come out with whatever they had for the tray. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And you don't want to connect your worth to whatever you got on that tray.
Right.
Because, you know, things change. You know what I mean? Sometimes you got a hit. Sometimes mm-hmm. they flocking to you. Sometimes you got some bullshit on you. And people are like, ah, nah, I'm good, family. Nah, you can take it. Nah, don't even come my way. You know?
When you was doing that, what was a hit?
What was a hit? I'm trying to remember. You know, like sliders. You know, the little sliders. Those are always a hit. Tuna tartare could go either way. Yeah. You know, depending on the crowd. It, like, some people see that shit, it look a little too raw. You know what I mean? I'm going to
always pass the tuna tartare.
Yeah, look a little.
Actually, any tartare. Any tartare is getting passed by me.
Yeah, it's one of those things. I'm trying to think what else used to, what other shit. This was a long time ago, but I do remember they used to, depending on the party too. Because sometimes, like, there was this one party they do with that shit. It was like a noon to midnight party. It was a 12-hour party, right? It was probably like on a Sunday or Saturday, kick off at noon. That shit would go till midnight, you know what I mean, all day or whatever. And it was, it was kind of like a Coke party. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was a lot of Coke energy. I'm not going to say that was the theme. It wasn't on the invite or the flyer that it was explicitly a Coke.
Did you see the cocaine?
All I'm saying is niggas ain't want nothing but some water. You know what I mean? Like, it ain't all that other shit you got on the tray, dog. I'm cool. I'm not even hungry, bro. We playing this shit for a good 12 hours. At some point, I would figure you would eat something. Nah, you know what? I'm cool, but could you bring me another glass of that water? Fair enough. I got you.
There was put a different some water energy on your tray, fool.
Yeah, it was different energy in that bitch. You know, mm-hmm. you could kind of tell. It might not have been all Coke, but it was definitely a little Coke, little pills. It was, you know, you could tell by the DJs. You know what I'm saying? And the music being played. This was a different type of situation. That's why I didn't say what hotel it was. But it was definitely some shit when you coming out of there. You could see immediately where you stood. Motherfuckers would assess that tray and say, okay. Fam.
Yeah.
But turkey butts.
You had that motherfucker, not turkey butts, turkey tails.
Turkey tail, my bad. Chicken butt was the other
chicken butts. Yeah, yeah.
Chicken butt is good, though. I mean, I don't want to say it like that, but that little piece. My grandma
always, she turned me against the little chicken butt. She was like, nah, you don't want to eat that. She was like, you don't eat that. Throw that away. That was some good fat meat. But then after you get scolded about it, you be like, I might not want to eat the chicken butt.
Damn. Sounds elitist.
Very not. It was a very not elitist situation.
Okay. It was a very hood boogie situation.
It was in Brown Sub, Miami, right across the street from the graveyard. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So it was not an elitist scenario.
You could be elitist in the hood. We all know some hood elitists.
You could be.
This was not the case.
It wasn't that. Nah, definitely wasn't the case. But you do have the differential of you don't live in the projects or the apartments. Right. You live in a house. So that is a separation. That is a thing that people kind of go by. But there wasn't no elitist scenario by far.
Okay. Oh man! Yeah.
It was just don't fuck with that chicken butt.
That ain't for you. Yeah, you know. Speaking of what to fuck with or not to fuck with, I got you know, I talked about crabs about a couple weeks ago, and I think I had some since then. But you know, the spot I go to, I told you they it's live. They live crabs. Mm-hmm. So typically, when I was ordering them, I would order them steamed, you know what I mean, steamed already. So I just had to do like a quick 5-minute re-steam, just because it would make it a little easier, especially if you're getting them shipped out, because they're shipped to you basically on ice, so they're stunned, they're asleep. Mm-hmm. So, but you know, when you steam crabs, you got to make sure you don't steam a dead crab, because that shit is going to be disgusting. It could fuck you up. So,
wait, steaming a dead crab is fucked up?
Yeah, it's not a good look. Yeah, you need to steam. If you steaming crabs or even boiling crabs, they got to be alive. Because if you steam a dead crab, you don't know, one, you don't know how long that crab's been dead, and it could be, you know, types of bacteria, shit like that. Shit'll get you real sick. Like, in the crab community, motherfuckers will talk about a dead crab like the third rail. You know what I'm saying? Right. Like, don't play yourself. Don't fuck around. That shit could fuck your whole day up.
So that shit you get out the stove frozen, they froze it live, or they hit it with a little something first and then.
Well, when you're thinking about frozen crab legs, those are cooked.
Okay, they frozen. Already cooked a little bit.
They steamed. Frozen. They're steamed already, and then frozen. So all you're doing is just like re-steaming it, bringing it back to life.
Okay. Yeah. Because I was like, shit, I be steaming a lot of dead crabs.
No. Like with blue crab in particular.
You want them to
so, you know, these new crabs, they live, and there's a lot of compartmentalization that I use when I eat crab, you know. And one part of it I had cut out because I was having them steamed in, because when they send them to you, and you gotta wake them up to kill them. Mm-hmm. You feel a certain type of way. But when you buy them shits and they alive, and then you crack them shits open, it's time to put them in the pot.
Mm-hmm.
They be feisty, because they not, you know, they fighting for their lives.
Not trying,
you know what
to
I mean?
Die.
Yeah, you realize you're killing these crabs. You're killing these crabs. You're a murderer, a mass murderer at that, because it's at least a dozen. You know what I'm saying? You kind of put that out your mind, you know what I'm saying? But the quarantine, you know, there's no real distraction between you and your thoughts in the quarantine. Mm-hmm. So you realize, damn. And then, just to take it another step, this is the conversation nobody really ever want to have. I've had these moments and shit, but I put them out my mind. I totally compartmentalize it, you know, as I eat these crabs. But crabs and roaches are quite similar.
Yeah, as are shrimp.
Yeah, see, I don't fuck with shrimp. I'm allergic to shrimp, even though I'm allergic to crabs, but probably not anymore.
You choose your poison.
I don't eat water bugs, but I'll eat roaches. But yeah, so like it's just one of those things. But the last time I had some females, and the females look even more, you know, roachy than the males.
So what's the difference between the females and the males?
You can look at like the apron on it. Like the females got an apron, you know what I mean? Fucking patriarchy. Now the females basically, like when you look at, when you flip them over on their backs, the males their apron or whatever, it's like a, look like a dick, damn near. It's kind of like the way that it's the way that you would pop it open, it's like a obelisk or whatever. Like it's, you know, it's like this one long thing that you pull back. Whereas with a female, it's more of like a rounded thing. It's like a rounded thing, so you pull it back. And then when you crack it open, it's also like eggs and shit going on.
Oh, we got all that bullshit around it.
Yeah, little orange eggs, the roe. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Which some people love, some people are disgusted by.
Yeah, I remember that as a kid, old spongy ass shit.
Yeah, well, it could be, there's some spongy shit, but the spongy, they're not really spongy. They kind of more like, I won't say spongy. The little gills could be spongy. You don't supposed to eat that shit, but there's like, the roe is like, it's orange. Now, sometimes it could get a little hard.
I'm looking at it on the internet. I searched it.
Okay.
I searched female blue crab.
Uh-huh. And male blue crab, you see the difference?
The male crab just got like a little thing that go up the body,
right,
on the bottom.
Uh-huh.
And then the female got the little round pouch that look like a mound or something.
Yeah, it look like a little catcher's mitt or something. Yeah, yeah. Or like a roach. Yeah, man, yeah. You know what I'm saying? But anyway, that ain't going to stop me, though. But
shit, you already out there in the world, man. You already, you know what I'm saying, full-fledged connoisseur of the crab culture.
Yeah.
So it ain't no need in turning back now because of, you know what I'm saying, a few technicalities and some linguistics.
Yeah. Yeah, nah, I'm chilling. you know, it's funny, speaking of that, because I grew up on steam crabs, I didn't realize there's people, you know, because I used to hear the term crab boil.
Mm-hmm.
I was always like, well, okay, what's that about? You know, you go to the place like the boil and you see them, you know, they might boil a snow crab or whatever. But then I think I had boiled crab for the first time in Louisiana.
Right.
And that shit was good. I can't really all the way super tell the difference. You know what I mean? I can tell the difference, I guess, you know, because steam crabs is a little dusted with the old bay, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Whereas the boiled crabs are kind of boiled in this whatever type of crab or Creole seasoning or whatever, so you don't have that dusting on them. But right, they both taste good.
Yeah, I grew up on garlic crabs.
Okay.
Which is snow crab, was just blue crabs, just, you know what I'm saying, done up in with the garlic butter sauce.
Uh-huh.
So we had this spot called Captain Crabs that you could go to, like KFC, and get a bucket of blue crabs, blue garlic crabs and shit. And then they already halfway bust down for you, so you ain't got to do all that work. All the top part and the nasty part is already gone. So you just leave you with the claws and then the meat body of it. It did have them little gills on there that you had to take off, but that's cool. But then when I got to FAMU,
mm-hmm,
you know, you got all these different kinds of people around, you know what I'm saying? And we had a dude that was in our crew that was from New Orleans. His name was Bo Cephas. And Bo Cephas used to do crab boils because he from New Orleans and he know about what to do, you know what I'm saying? So he would get the big boiling pot with the potatoes and you know what I'm saying, the corn. The Old Bay was exclusive to the seasoning process of this thing. And set a fire and put the pot on top of the fire and, you know, do a official crab boil. And this was some shit he loved to do. Saturday morning, he just loved to boil some crabs and shit. We was just beneficiaries of his love of the crab broil.
Bo Cephas.
And see, I could never tell the difference between a steam and a boil. It was just crabs, and you knew how to do the work to get the meat out, and shit, that was it. Crab boil, right. You know, you just got all the extra shit. As an old Muslim, you had to worry about some people crab boil. They put the sausage and all that shit in there. You had to make sure you ain't at the sausage factory.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But yeah, but Bo Cephas, he put us up on the crab boil and the fried turkey, the turducken, all that little shit, like all that old Creole ass shit. Mm-hmm. He was doing all that, like he was spreading culture through college environments. And you know, niggas is greedy and hungry in college, so we was soaking it all up. Where you gonna fry that? You gonna put that turkey in all that grease? Okay, let's see how that turn out.
Perfect guinea pig.
You know what I'm saying? Man, he knew what the fuck he was doing.
That's what's up. I still have yet to have fried turkey to this day.
Oh, no? Nah?
Nah, man, I got to check it out, but I still
damn.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I'm going to have it soon.
My man Lloyd, who used to own Bread Star, rest in peace. Yeah. He would fry the turkeys every Thanksgiving, and I would get a traditional one, and then I would get a fried one. You know what I'm saying? Kind of like to make sure you got enough leftovers, you know? Mm-hmm. And so the fried turkey, man, that shit is dangerous. You know what I'm saying? Because you probably ain't supposed to be eating all that like that. But that shit is delicious. You know what I'm saying? It's a different type of situation. You know what I mean? And he used to have these exotic seasonings on his shit, which made it even better. So, right. You know.
Right. Nah, I can dig it. I'm going to have it. I was supposed to... shout out to my man Larry. He live over by my sister. We were having this past Thanksgiving. I think it was. And you know, I told him he always fried turkey. And he was like, "Yo, next time you're around, come through. I'll let you know. As a matter of fact, I'll hit you." You know what I'm saying? This Thanksgiving, my niece is a vegan. Right, die hard all the way, you know, proud vegan, go hard, created a vegan group at her college, the whole thing. Like, she's into it. She's been a vegan for about at least 5 years, you know what I mean? So, I admire her conviction and her commitment to it, you know, because I've had my bouts with trying to go vegan or trying to go vegetarian or whatever, and I'll do that shit for a couple months, and then, you know, shit keep calling me. You know, but
they calling me.
Yeah, I think it was this year. It might have been the last year, but we wound up watching. It wasn't What the Health. I think it was Game Changers. So we watching Game Changers, which is basically What the Health 2. And we had just eaten, and then we watched the Game Changers, and you know they. Destroying meat and why meat is killing you and why you shouldn't do this and da 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 da. And it was almost to the point where we, you know, after watching the propaganda, we all kind of collectively had a pact, you know, like, yo, we got to really stop fucking with this meat shit, you know. And I mean, immediately, I swear, just as the credits was rolling, I get the text from Larry like, "Yo, I got some of that fried turkey if you want." And I was like, "Ah, shit." So I had to pass on it. That's about as close as I've gotten to it. I had to pass on it. But one day, I'm going to try it, man. I want to see.
Yeah, man. You know what I'm saying? It's something you can't do often. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know what I'm saying? You know you have exceeded your quota of salt, fat, you know, saturated fats. I don't know. All of the old shit you ain't supposed to be doing.
Right.
It's when you're eating it, it feels like a guilty pleasure. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's kind of like going to Popeyes, but instead of getting like a two-piece, you got a whole fucking 24 family pack for yourself.
Right. Big, you know what I'm saying? Stuffer. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So you got to be careful with it, but shit, that shit is good.
I believe it. Speaking of good shit made bad. I wanted to ask you about this. I don't know if you're going to come across any of this shit, but it's definitely going on in Atlanta. You know, I see a lot of the, there's a lot of Instagram chefs, you know, that are popping and shit. And there's this one woman who's cracking. I want to say she's in Atlanta. I'm almost positive she's in Atlanta. She makes what they call crack grapes. Have you seen this or heard about this?
Crack who?
Crack grapes.
Grapes, and like
grapes, wine? Like fruit, like what you like. Dang, good fruit, okay. That's supposed to be good for you, but these are crack grapes. And okay. they goes even further, like crack strawberries, whatever. But these are, I guess, and I kind of might even see the recipe, but I believe these are like grapes that are like glazed with damn near Jolly Rancher or some old mad sugar. Like the shit looks bananas. If you go on Instagram, you put in crack grapes, you'll see.
I'm
but
looking
like
at this shit right now.
This shit's just cracking like crack. The way these people are responding to it. Yo, I just got a bag. The crack grape lady came through. Blase skip. And
I don't even look appealing to me. That's look too sweet. You know what I'm saying? I don't fuck with the too sweet.
Yeah. But I want to try them. Yeah, it looks crazy. It looked like some shit that you shouldn't be fucking with. Mm-hmm. But they
got like the crack grape, Jolly Rancher candy grapes. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Starburst crack grapes, Sour Patch grapes.
Right.
That ain't something that I wouldn't even be enticed by that shit.
it looks wild. It looks like some shit that you know dead ass well, you know what I mean? You know damn well you should be fucking. Yeah, this shit's gonna have your glucose cracking. If y'all had any cracked grapes, let me get a testimonial in the comments or hit me on the Twitter and let me know what you thought.
Now I could do that damn fried turkey, but too sweet is something I can't do. Like my grandma. You know what I'm saying? Again, we gonna go back to my grandma, brown sub. You know what I'm saying?
No chicken butts.
No chicken butts.
Not in this house.
She, you know, she used to make peach. Well, somebody in the house would make a peach cobbler on Sunday,
right?
And everybody would love when the peach cobbler was made, but the peach cobbler used to be so fucking sweet that it gave me a headache. You know what I'm saying? So when they pass me my peach cobbler, I could only really eat just the crust, and then I trade it off to somebody else for some other piece of food. You know what I'm saying? Shit, you give me one of your pieces of your chicken, I'm gonna give you know what I'm saying, my peach cobbler when we done. You know what I'm saying? Because I couldn't really, the sweetness gave me a headache. So that just kept me off of real sweet shit like key lime pie. Like that's a favorite in Miami. My pops, he love a fucking key lime pie. That's his shit. And then he'll make that shit, and I'd be like, I don't even want none of that. he'd be hot. Like, man, what the fuck wrong with you? And now my kids be doing that type shit to me, so I get it now.
What they be shutting down that you like?
Just any old thing, like cream of wheat. Like I be, you know what I'm saying? I make up some cream of wheat. Like, this is my childhood favorite, nigga. You know what I'm saying? Nice little butter. You know what I'm saying? Sugar, honey, whatever the fuck you gonna use.
Right.
That's my shit. They be like,
yeah. Are you a sweet grit kind of cat?
Oh, no, no. Sweet grits, never. Sweet grits, never. I'm a sultry grit.
Yeah.
I like a butter salt grit.
Yeah.
I don't like a sweet cheese.
Yeah, I just wondered because you said you fuck with the cream of wheat. So
cream of wheat. You do a sweet cream of wheat, but not a sweet grit.
Yeah.
I guess it's the difference of whatever you tried first.
Right. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Like, some people in my family, they'll put sugar in their rice. You know what I'm saying? I do a sweet rice. I'm like,
Yeah, I never seen that. I've seen sugar in the spaghetti though, which is not terrible because it doesn't overwhelm it, you know.
Right. My older sister, she does the best spaghetti that I ever had. You know what I'm saying? Always had. That was her shit. I don't know what the fuck she put in. I think she sent me a recipe one time, but she does a spaghetti, and then when she sent me a recipe, it had sugar in it. Like, she like put a little sugar, blah, blah, blah. But her spaghetti never tastes sweet. I guess it was just enough to, you know what I'm saying? Her spaghetti was always hot, like spicy. She like a spicy spaghetti with the hot pepper shit. But that shit was gooder than a motherfucker. And what I never understood was how she got, you know how you put your spaghetti sauce on the noodles and shit? Mm-hmm. And it always feel like the sauce is on top of the noodle. Or separate from the noodle. Her shit be like the sauce is in the noodle too. And I don't know how the fuck she did that. You know what I'm saying?
Like black people's spaghetti.
Yeah, her shit is like the sauce is in the noodle. Right. And if you got leftovers and you put it in the Tupperware, that shit is going to be in the Tupperware too.
Oh, yeah.
you know what I'm saying? That's why I don't fuck with plastic dishes.
Yeah, my mom used to make that type of spaghetti too. She know how to do that to where it was like, it's like glazed the each little noodle. Like it was, it wasn't poured on or no shit like that. Mm-mm. I saw
that shit was
thing.
In the noodle. Oh yeah, I got the recipe right here. Nah, but go ahead.
Speaking of which, speaking of that whole Tupperware shit, how you destroy your Tupperware with spaghetti or curry. Mm-hmm. I saw some shit, some hack. It kind of worked because I was excited about that, you know, because I be fucking with this curry. And I, you know, you be killing a little bit of Tupperware. Your Tupperware start looking dingy. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Just after, you know, it start being like the curry Tupperware now. You gotta keep that to the side. But there's a way where if you do, like you take the spaghetti or curry, you take a little bit of soap, take a little bit of water, and then you ball up like a paper towel, and then you pour some water in there, and then you close that shit, and then you shake that motherfucker for like, you know, like a minute, 2 minutes, like vigorously. You just shake the shit out of it, and for whatever reason, now it didn't perform as well as I saw on Instagram, but it did it did fairly well. For whatever reason, that paper towel will pull all of that fucking oil and, you know, all of that stain into the paper towel. And your Tupperware will damn near look brand new, like right back to how it should be. You know,
They should have taught that shit in the hood, cause
yeah.
I don't fuck with plastic cause of Tupperware and spaghetti. You give me this bowl and that spaghetti still in it, be like, damn. And when you rub that shit, you can still feel the oil and shit. Be like, man, if that shit is soaking, if that damn spaghetti sauce is still in this bitch from however the fuck long ago, man, what else in here? You know what I'm saying? So that like my wife, she think I be trying to be persnickety and shit when I don't eat off of plastic and no shit like that or drink out of the plastic cup. And I had to tell her this is why. You know what I'm saying? Because when you get a Tupperware bowl and that shit got some old ass spaghetti still in it from I don't know when, and you rub on it and it feel kind of oily.
Yeah,
I'm like, man, I don't want nothing plastic. I don't have this problem when I got a glass, you know what I'm saying, or a ceramic plate. I don't have that problem. So that's the type of shit I want to eat on. I want to eat on some shit that ain't got no problems. All that old manufactured plastic, I don't really want to fuck with it.
Well, let me ask you this. What do you store your shit in? Like, what do you do with your leftovers? How do you store your leftovers?
Yeah, you could. There's two schools of thought.
All right, give me both schools.
Now, I store it in, sometimes you store it in what you cook the main thing in. So, you know what I'm saying? We cook our shit in the Pyrex type of shit. So then, you know, they got the plastic lids for that. You use the Pyrex. Now, but then you do, my wife, she like her little plastic storage. So she'll put shit in the plastic storage. That ain't cool. That's cool, but I ain't going to eat out the shit. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to eat out the plastic. I don't want the plastic up to my lip because it just don't feel natural to me.
Okay, I see what you're saying.
You know what I'm saying? When you done seen an old nappy-ass Tupperware cup, you don't want to drink out a Tupperware cup.
Try to put some Apple Jacks in the nasty red blood-splattered spaghetti remnant ass. Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Old nappy-ass Tupperware with a little plastic be shriveling up and shit. Nah, bruh.
That's hilarious. Yo, it's funny, man. I sent back a Pyrex casserole dish just recently because I had wanted one. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I caught one off of Amazon. And, I be reading too many of these comments. I got shook. like, I got Pyrex, like, measuring cups and shit like that. But, mm-hmm. like, for instance, like, when I make some shit like brownies or something like that, like, mm-hmm. I got, like, a metal brownie pan. You know what I mean? But the thing about mm-hmm. the metal shit is after a while, that shit'd get a little rusty. You know what I mean? You gotta mm-hmm. kind of... You gotta clean the rust off or whatever, or you might want to line the shit with some aluminum so you hoping that there's no rust coming in your situation. Mm-hmm. So I was like, you know what? Instead of all this rust, let me go ahead and invest in a little Pyrex casserole dish so I could get it cracking. So mm-hmm. then I got one, and I'm about to cook with it, you know. And then I look at I'm looking at the comments, and they like, yo, beware. You cooking that shit, and it goes a little higher than this, that shit'll explode and it'll be all over the place or whatever. Yeah. So I was like, I just don't want no grenade in my crib like that. You know,
For Pyrex dish?
No, this was a Pyrex, but this is the thing that I heard. You know, you always hear the rumors. You always hear the what's the word? Not the rumors, but just the all of the beware shit. Is deep in them comments. But basically, mm-hmm. somebody got their theory that Pyrex stopped making their shit the same way a couple years ago. So, like, it's not the same type of glass. It's a cheaper glass, and it's way more sensitive to temperature. So, like, for instance, if you had that shit in there for, like, 350, and then you take it out and put it on the counter, mm-hmm.
And it hit that cold.
Yeah, which shouldn't even be that cold, but
the cool temperature out of that hot temperature.
The departure in temperature, that should have just shattered all over the place. And I was like, man, let me not even set myself up for failure.
Yeah, Pyrex didn't usually have them problems because, you know, niggas be cooking crack in a Pyrex.
Absolutely, yeah. That's
heat it all up and then poke cold water in it and voila. Mm-hmm. I did see those kind of reviews for some Target glassware that trying to get, so I was like, nah. But I had never heard that. But now that I looked it up as you were saying it, and it was like Pyrex under fire for reported explosions.
Yeah.
2019.
Right. Look at that shit.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. The Pyrex instantly exploded, sending mm-hmm. shards of glass flying.
Right, right.
That's shit you want to see. When you buy some shit.
Come on. You in the mood for some brownies or something real benevolent? Now your shit exploded. You could cut and bleed and you got to go to the emergency room. Yeah, you still got get COVID. Killed. Yeah, man. Yeah. Lose an eye. Because you wanted to cook a $3 box of brownies. Now you just regret the whole situation. He take you all the way back to that aisle where you picked up that $3 box. You say, you know what? Had I left this box on the motherfucking mm-hmm. shelf, I still have both eyes.
I wouldn't you know be blind in my own ain't this a bitch? Right.
I can't even Fuck. Sue Associated, you know, because they ain't had nothing to do with it. You know what I'm saying? Because that's what prompted the whole shit. It was on sale. That's what I get for getting the on sale. Oh, just all that type of... Get into that fucking spiral.
Man. Shit.
Oh, shit, dude.
Beware of your glassware.
Yeah, make sure. You know, if you had that shit, if you've had an exploded Pyrex, hit us in the comments. I want to hear your testimonial. What was I going to tell you, man? What's up?
After that, the damn Tupperware don't sound so bad.
Right, look at that, right? You could take a little nappy ass Tupperware just to be safe. Yeah. Oh man. I finally tried a city bike for the first time this week.
I thought you bought a bike.
No, I was gonna buy a bike, but you know, I was bullshitting. I still may buy a bike. I was gonna buy the bike, but then I wanted to sit on the bike. Like, I didn't want to buy a bike off the laptop. You know what I'm saying? Like, it just felt like bikes are a little bit more experiential. You kind of want to kick the tire. You want to, you know, fuck with the handlebar, see how the shit feel or whatever. Mm-hmm. So shout out to DJ Mars too, because I see him selling bikes online. Them shits kind of look fly.
DJ Mars?
DJ Mars. You know DJ Mars in Atlanta? He sell bikes and shit. What was I going to say? Oh, so they got City Bike. See, now they got City Bike on my block. And I was absolutely pissed off, to be totally, honest with you, because, as you know, the parking on my block is horrible. So now they put a damn City Bike kiosk in there, which takes up damn near almost an entire block, at least half the block. So they're killing parking spots. So the first time, when I first seen it, I didn't respond like some of these other people in my neighborhood are like, oh, wow, City Bike. Now I was like, oh, this is that bullshit. You know what I mean? But I'm seeing people zipping around on the bikes and shit, you know, and I take my walks or whatever. And I'm like, you know what? Maybe I need to try something different in the cardio situation. I see these people having fun on these bikes. I was like, you know, I got a little curious. So I downloaded the app. The app gave you a free ride. So I said, well, shit. You know what I mean, let me go ahead and see what it was. They had, and this place got the electric and the regular, right? And I wasn't gonna kick it off on the electric because I knew what's my man's name, Piers Morgan, or not Piers Morgan, the other kid, Simon Cowell. He destroyed his whole back, and then that newswoman. Well, that was one of them scooters, but Simon Cowell, I guess, crashed on that shit, fucked his whole back up. And you know, I just fucked my back up last week. You know what I mean? So I don't need no more back injury. I told you about the shit.
No.
I fucked my back up trying to with the comforter.
I told oh, that was your neck. Time, you said your neck.
Yeah, my neck and my back.
I didn't know it affected your back.
My neck and my back. My neck and my back. Yeah, as my man was saying Friday.
I didn't know.
It was fine. I'm hopped up on Motrin right now, as a matter of fact. I've been going hard on this Motrin for this last. I went and bought a fucking water bottle. I felt, you know what I mean? I feel like an old woman now. But, so the only one that was available was the electric shit. So I said, fuck it, man. Let me try this electric shit. And electric shit go up to like 18 miles an hour if you let it. But suppose I think it got like a governor, so don't go super crazy. But it could go crazier than you may want it to if you concerned about fucking your backup. You know what I'm saying? But shit was fun. I had a good time on the shit. You know what I'm saying? I'm debating. I might go ahead and get me a bike. And if not a bike, I might just go ahead and invest in a helmet. You know what I'm saying? Give me a little...
What the fuck are you gonna do with the helmet? Inspiration?
I'm gonna put the helmet on. No, nigga, I'm gonna put the helmet on when I do the City Bike. You know what I'm saying?
When you do the City Bike. Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
I'm not just buying the helmet to just be like a fitted. Nah, nigga, I'm gonna buy a little helmet for like if I go on this electric shit so I'm a little bit more comfortable because if I crash, a nigga, you know, I won't feel it. You know, I feel like I'm prepared a little bit. But dude, I haven't been on a bike. It feels like, I don't know how long. It's been years that I've been on a bike, and it's a whole, I forgot just the realm of the bike, you know, because I'm a walker and a driver, you know, like when you're walking, you in these streets. When you're driving, you kind of disconnect, especially if it's summertime, you got your window rolled up, AC on, you see the people, but you can't really touch the people. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You in your own bubble. But the bike is like the hybrid of both. Like you moving, you sliding through. You know what I mean? But like you see the people see you. You know what I'm saying? Like it's a nice little balance. I missed it. Yeah.
See the bike keeps you kind of in contact with your environment. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You're not separated from it. Like when you're in the car, you close the door, roll the windows up, turn the music on. You are separate from what's going on out there.
Mm-hmm.
You might see a couple of little things, but other than that, you just cruising on through. On a bike, you get to observe and you get to see what's going on. You might, you know what I'm saying, see little things in your neighborhood that you didn't notice before because, you know, you wouldn't go that far walking and driving. You were going to blast past. So on the bike, you're a little further out, but you're moving at a pace where you can see what's happening and shit. You know, bike is a good little thing. You know what I'm saying? I love a bike. Bike is your first, was my first transportation, was my first state of freedom. to say, you know what I'm saying? I'm not tethered to my house or my parents or nothing. I get on my bike, I'm out of here. Yeah. I can go wherever I want to go to a certain extent.
I felt a little tethered because that, you know, I only had 30 minutes on the shit, so I can go but so far. I mean, I was as tethered as I was invested. You know, I could pay extra, but I was like, nah, nigga, this is a free ride. Let me not let them get me. But in the future, in the future, I might, you know, invest in some freedom. But, yeah, you know, so that shit was cool.
I'm on Mars page now. He's selling, like, a lot of these BMXs and big BMXs and shit.
Which I might have aged out of. I appreciate the colorways, but I don't know. I feel like a real loud sneaker.
But you could do them, but then that puts you in the mix. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Nigga might want to knock you upside the head about that one of them big BMXs. Yeah. For real.
You know especially if it's some custom shit. Yeah.
Yeah, that puts you in the culture. You know what I'm saying? You might have a little target on your back. But or you might be OG.
A young nigga.
You know what I'm saying? You might be okay, OG, I see you. Right. You know what I'm saying? That's all you
still got a target.
You might. Mm-hmm. Don't get off of it. Now, I think you're going to go in the stove or no shit like that. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? That's what she just keep it moving. You do have some old heads on them, and you know what I mean? You know, but I like the culture of the big BMX. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. They like the dirt bike boys, except on bikes. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. They come through 50 deep riding the big BMXs and shit.
Yeah, different. That's a whole different culture. Yeah, I'm definitely not even willying down the block.
I fucks with it.
I appreciate it. I don't participate in it. No, yeah, I'm cruising. I got a helmet on.
Right.
I'm not part of this.
But if you get a big BMX, you're part of it. You know what I'm saying? You're part of that conversation. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it looked like he's selling all those kind of things like that. Which is cool.
Well, shit, man. Speaking of bikes, man, I feel like it's time to transform and roll out. Unless you got something else you wanted to talk to the people about.
Hey, man. You know what I'm saying? I love the people. People love what we doing. You know what I'm saying? We here providing that content on them. You know what I'm saying? We'll be back next week. We gave him a good hour. You know what I mean? You could have done more, I guess. But you know what I'm saying? Here we are at the crossroads of transforming and rolling out.
Where you going to be? Anything you want to hit him with?
Ah, man. I'm actually going to just be in the zone, man. You got a lot of work to do. A lot of things getting together to launch this show and shit. But I'll definitely be back here next week doing what we do.
Okay, that's what it is. Between now and then, over the quarantine, I shot, I guess it was called Quarantine Code, but it's a 2020 code. It got expanded because 2020 is its own thing. So that comes on this Thursday on MTV. So you should check it out. It's a one night only. Yeah, got the band back together for the most part. So you can see a cat with his pandemic fro. You know
What day? What date is that?
That's Thursday. I think it's the 17th. I believe. At least this Thursday on MTV. So there's that. But beyond that, I'll probably pop up maybe on one of these social media sites or not. But next week we'll be back, and we will be back with we're gonna unpack some of these shows. You know what I mean? You know, we're gonna get into our power reviews because
we got a whole recap scenario.
Yeah. So people really want that power because I'm 2 weeks deep, and it's some good shit. But I want to talk about it, and I would also like to really get into Lovecraft Country too, because
we could do that too.
That shit is quite fire. So that's a next week situation. Trust and believe we're going to do all of that. And until then, tell a friend to tell a friend.
And even the enemy.
To get in the conversation. Hello. We out.